So I'm thankful to be back down here on the floor again. So much more comfortable for me than up in that little cage up there. Advent has always been for me my favorite time in the church. The entire church calendar, I loved Advent more than any, and this goes way back to when I was a church musician in my early 20s. There seemed to be just an abundance of wonderful music to sing during Advent. I don't know if David has found that, but I certainly did. And I could never seem to cram it all into the 4 weeks that I had to prepare. So fast forward, I become more of a liturgist and less of a musician. Some would say liturgist / terrorist. And I began to work diligently to hold Christmas at bay and to remind everybody around me that Advent, 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 Advent. It's not Christmas. It's not the 24th. I don't want to see a tree in the back of the church. I don't want to see a poinsettia anywhere until the 24th of December. And I had neighbors for 10 years. I lived on this quiet street in Orillia. My neighbors across the road were Christmas fanatics, for want of a better term. You needed sunglasses to walk by their house at night. They had the big Santa Clauses and the reindeer and all. Just Christmas threw up in their front yard. And it was interesting to me that on the 25th of December, around 8 o'clock in the evening, we'd look out the window, and sure enough, there was the dad dragging the Christmas tree out the door and sticking it in the snowbank and shutting off the lights. And I thought to myself, there was clearly no Advent here. We went right from December 1st to December 25th with all Christmas. And I thought, what a loss that is to not have this time of preparation, to not have this time to just dial it back from the horrendous parking lot experiences and trying to find a place downtown and standing in the long lineups to buy this because you needed to have that, or the cooking and the baking and the shopping and the baking and the cooking and the eating. And by the time the 25th of December rolled around, you ate, you drank, you indulged in all the presents, and then you argued with your family about politics, and then you went home. There's a great loss in that for me. So I was excited to preach during Advent, very excited. And I got rejoice Sunday, happy, rejoice, let's rejoice. And then I looked at the gospel, you brood of vipers. Okay, let's talk about that. To find joy in that particular reading, you have to look a little harder than you think. Because at first glance, this scripture can always be used as a checklist of what to do and what not to do. And from my old tradition, that's how it was done. You looked at the list, you said, okay, well, you have to be nice to everybody, make sure you give the coat to the person who needs it, make sure you feed the hungry, make sure you are nice to your neighbors, don't ask for more than you need, etc., etc. What they didn't teach me, and I remember this from my shopping list going into my first confession, I had my little list, and my mother said, make sure you cross these things off. And I got to the one about not talking back to my mother. I forgot to tell the priest that. So I was waiting for the lightning bolt when I got out. But I remember thinking to myself later on in life, what good is it to do this if there's no joy behind that? If I'm not going to be joyful in my repentance, if I'm not going to find the place that brings me to the peace that I am able to not do this again. When I was taking my Dismantling Racism, my very first workshop in Vancouver, just before my ordination, I went over there with my chest out thinking, well, of course I know what it's like to be marginalized. You know, of course all gay guys know what it's like to be marginalized. Then I was informed that I was blue-eyed and white, and I had white privilege. And boy, that hit me right upside the head. I thought, oh, hold on a second here. You're telling me that I'm a racist? And I realized actually that I was. I was not fixing the problem. I did not go out and change the way I acted towards others because I thought I already had the answers to these questions. And I wasn't a racist. And so I did not have that change of heart inside. Now that was a pretty harsh change of heart. And I admit, it wasn't easy for me to take. The second day I had a complete meltdown. And I said to myself, I'm not that person. I'm a good person, I'm not a bad person, I'm not a racist, but actually I had to come to terms with the fact that I had involved myself in racist behavior. So this change of heart was difficult, but let me tell you the joy that came afterwards. And so I'm reading this gospel and I'm thinking, well, if I can find joy in the fact that the chaffy will burn in the unquenchable fire, okay. Clearly, I'm not saying that we're not a brood of vipers here. Make no mistake, I'm not calling anybody here a viper. But I will say there's something to be said for even in our own community when we can't heal ourselves. And I say this with love and compassion. I think everybody here is wonderful. But I also am aware that once in a while, amongst ourselves, we get into habits of saying, well, I don't care for that person. Or 10 years ago, this person did this to me, so therefore I can never speak to them again. And not acknowledging possibly their change of heart as well as yours. A clergy friend of mine, speaking of other clergy, I shouldn't say this is how clergy talk to one another about one another, but I was talking about the experience I had with someone after I was newly ordained, of being beside them and celebrating Eucharist with them. And I said what an absolute joy it was for me to stand there next to that person. And what I got was, yeah, well, 10 years ago, this person did this to me, so I'm not very happy. Well, I think to myself, if 10 years goes by and we can't, in our own heart of hearts, take that moment, first to heal, second to speak to one another, and third to be joyful, then we're never going to get there. So my challenge that I'm going to throw out to you today, besides, now last week you had Happy Advent, right? And the week before we had to remember to be repentant. So now I'm going to say to you, go out and find that person. Go out and find that person amongst yourselves and say to myself, I need to bring joy to myself, I need to bring joy to that person. We need to bury whatever anger and aggravation and bad feelings we have between each other and say to ourselves, this is the time. As we're preparing for a joyful season, but we're not preparing for the rebirth of Christ. We're preparing for bringing Christ back into our lives again. And in order to do that, I really believe that we must be healed amongst ourselves. That in order for our community to go out into this world and be really, really powerful and to make a difference on the streets of Victoria is for us to go out and actually inside ourselves to make peace amongst all of us sitting here. I'm going to end with a quote from the Talmud that the rector actually handed me this morning after the 8 o'clock and said this is actually really good. I think he put it, if you're following his blog, I think it's on the Advent blog, but it says here from the Talmud, do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Thanks be to God.